Blog Talk Radio.
I hate when my husband works late. Being at home, alone at night, hearing every little creak, it's uncomfortable. I thought I was just being paranoid. Then my girlfriend said she felt the same way when her husband travels. Until they had what she calls their Vivint talk. Vivint, my friend calls it the best home security system out there. It's super easy to use and fit right into our budget. And I love my video cameras. I can see what's going on in and around my home right from my computer or smartphone. It's actually kind of funny. I told my husband, if you're going to be traveling or working late, I'm getting Vivint. And it's made all the difference.
Call now. Not only is installation free, you'll get up to $1,500 worth of Vivint security cameras and equipment today at no charge. Seriously, $1,500. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Call 877-776-3430. 877-776-3430. 877-776-3430. Restrictions apply. 48 or 60 month agreement at minimum $49.99 per month required. Not available in Louisiana. See Vivint.com for license numbers.
Blog Talk Radio.
National Empowerment Radio presents Let's Talk with Dr. Wendy. Real issues, your community on Blog Talk Radio.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Wow, tonight is August already. August, where are we at? August 10th. Cannot believe how fast the summer has just blown by. Tonight is Sunday, and it's a great evening. I'll tell you, I really like doing the shows on Sundays. I think it's a really good night. I'm saying that because I told you a couple of weeks ago that we're testing some days out and trying to determine what's a good evening. And right now, my choice is Sunday evening. It's a really good time. I'm finding that I'm receiving more text messages and more emails from you on a Sunday, being that it appears as many of you are just winding down, and it's a good time for you to listen in. So right now, Sunday night has my vote. Thank you for sending the emails and telling us we need to reassess the evening, so I appreciate that. Well, as you know, as many of you know, this is an internet radio show, and I'd like to thank you for joining me this evening. Before we delve into tonight's topic, I just want to go over some basic housekeeping guidelines. This is an internet radio show, as I mentioned earlier, and it's a very, very simple process. You can listen to the show via your computer, and you do that by simply going to my website, and it's blogtalkradio.com/Let's Talk with Dr. Wendy. Very simple. Just follow the prompt and it'll take you straight into the show. Or you can listen to the show with your smartphone. You can Google Let's Talk with Dr. Wendy. It'll come up, or you can simply access the show with that exact same link that I gave you. Or if you find that you're having some technological challenges, you can listen to the show by merely dialing in and listening in. My number is 347-326-9755. Very simple. Now, with that said, you can also dial in at any point in time to ask any questions or make any comments or statements that you may have as well. So you can do that anytime. I'm not going to stop the show at any point in time during the show to ask questions. So with that said, I'd like to delve straight into tonight's topic. Now, this is a very, very interesting topic for me, being that, as many of you know, I'm all about personal and professional development. That is what we are all about. I love coaching students and adults and graduates and kids about things that they need to do to help essentially better themselves. That's what it's all about. So, tonight is definitely a topic that is going to delve into that area, in that we are going to talk about life after college. I thought that this topic is just so, the timing is really great, being that we have different people graduating from college, during different times of the year. And, you know, being on social media, you see all the different pictures of people graduating and students graduating. And this right now is the perfect time. Not to mention, it's also time for students to start going back to school as well. So those students and parents can also listen to this show because it will be very helpful for students that are going back to school as well. So with that said, tonight's topic, we have a focus for tonight's topic, and it's on women. My daughter has graduated from college. Now what? It's really interesting. When I sent the promo out for tonight's show, I got some text messages from people right away saying, wow, you know, it's funny, my daughter just graduated from college, and we were just talking about this either a couple of weeks before she graduated, or we were just talking about this last night, being that she just graduated. So people want assistance. People want information regarding what they need to do from a career development standpoint. So with that said, tonight, that has a book that caters to this particular topic. I'm not going to take her thunder away. I'm going to give her an opportunity to share with you her passion about this area, why she decided to write the book, and so on and so forth. So I am going to bring her on the line now and let her do all the talking. Chaz, are you on the air?
Yes, and I love doing all the talking, so thank you.
How are you?
No, I'm excellent. I'm really good. And I do like being able to talk on a Sunday night. It starts off your Monday
well. Yeah, Sundays are good. Sundays are really, really good. So before we go into this topic, can we just take a step back and you could just share with my audience your background, why you decided to write the book, and anything else you'd like to share about yourself before we get started?
Okay. Again, my name is Chaz Pitts-Kaiser, and the book title is Careerinista. It's kind of like a little thing on fashionista. I need to go ahead and get that trademark. So Careerinista, the woman's guide.
You do. You need to get that trademark.
I need to get it
quickly.
Careerinista, the woman's guide to success after college. And it's a career guide exclusively toward young women graduating from college and getting to the first and second levels of their career. And this is actually my second book. It kind of mirrors the first book that I published in 2007, Embracing the Real World, The Black Woman's Guide to Life After College, which was the first career guide for African-American women. I was working at HBCU at the time and a career coach, and I was like, these young ladies need something, you know? And so I published that book, and but because of the success of that book, and because, of course, that, you know, regardless of race, it's women in general, college students in general just need so much advice, I was urged to publish this book, which I did in February, and it's done very well. It was endorsed by the National Career Development Association. Their past president endorsed it. And I also founded a career website geared toward young professional women, Careerinista, and that's CareerInista.com, that has tons of advice for young professional women and profiles, and we're always looking for young women to profile, too. So a little background of why I wrote the book. I mean, I'm a former college journalism instructor, a career coach, and I'm a former college student who graduated with a degree, unlike many of these students graduating today. I graduated with a degree, but still, I really did not know what I was doing. It's like college kind of gives you the book smarts, but not necessarily the professional smarts to really start and succeed in your career. And at the time, I remember going to the library and going to bookstores looking for a career guide, and they were talking about, you know, simple stuff like how to cook. All right, I know, I already knew that. You know, how to, you know, go find an apartment. Okay, I already got my apartment. How do I succeed in my job? And I really couldn't find anything that really just gave real life and inspiration and advice. And so, you know, I decided to write it myself, and here we are.
Nice. Well, just so that we're clear, I received a lot of text messages and a few emails on the direction of tonight's show, and we are going to talk about women that have graduated. And we are going to provide them some guidance on some steps they need to take now that they have walked across the stage and that they're ready to delve into a job market that isn't the best at this
it's
point
not.
In time. No, it's not. It is not, because that's one of the comments that I received from one of the moms that sent me a message. She noted that her concern was, how is this going to, what do we think, how is this economy and the job market going to weigh just mentally on her daughter, being that there's a lot of competition out there, and she said, I'm not saying that she can't interview well and do these kind of things, but it's a lot, because she noted that, you know, I have friends that have been in the job market for a long time, and they're having a hard time finding a job, and she noted that I'm really concerned on how this is going to weigh on her self-esteem and things like that. And I said, you know, tonight is the night that you really need to listen to the show.
And have her on, too. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, because your Women's Guide to Success After College is exactly some of the things that she needs to hear. So with that said, there's an area here that I definitely would like to focus on. It's overcoming, and I thought that message that she sent me was really in line with what you, some of the information you sent me about overcoming self-doubt and fear of failure.
That's a chapter in my book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was very, very, very good area, being that, you know, you're talking about college students and success after college. There are some adults that are having some challenging times, some seasoned professionals that have been in the job market that are having a hard time with overcoming self-doubt and fear of failure. So it's even much more critical with newbies going into the workforce not being prepared for this. So,
and disillusioned, right?
Oh, yeah, and the solution. So with that said, I before I go into dealing with some of these questions, let's go back to the basics here, and can you just give us, can we start out with, you said you worked at an HBCU, and I'm sure that you've definitely talked to several students and you've seen some things and had to answer some questions with, I would imagine, some areas that you thought that they would know more information about.
Right.
Is what I would say. So let's start there, and then we can just expand with you just discussing maybe 2 to 3 areas that parents think that their college grads will know, because you said it in the beginning, you noted that, yes, college has prepared them with the academics, with the book sense.
Can we get the professional, get me a job sense?
Exactly. Those are totally two different things. So let's start there.
Okay. Well, I think what I noticed, and this is even I think my thing when I graduated, is like college students have this idea that their degree is almost like a magic wand. Like when you graduate, just poof, you know, there's going to be a boss that appears in front of you saying, oh, you're hired and here's your office. And that is just not how it works. So I think the major part that comes with all these young women and young men just being so disillusioned and really depressed. I work with a lot of depressed former college students, is because they expected for employers to be lining down the door or emailing them. That's just not how it works. And so that's number one. So it's gaining a more realistic perspective on that the job market is very competitive, and that you have to make yourself stand apart, and you have to go above and beyond what you normally would think you have to do, which is just sending out resumes. It doesn't work like that anymore. You said something about 2 or 3 things that they should know. And so one is that the recruiters and employers, what they're looking for right now is they're not really so much looking for new graduates. What they're really wanting is are young professionals. And there's a difference between a new graduate, and that's just someone who graduates, and yes, they have their degree in biology or English or philosophy or whatever, but they don't have any practical experience. They have Radio Shack on their resume. They have Sears or whatever on their resume and nothing in their field, and that's a problem if you're trying to get an entry-level job, especially when you have people who have a decade of experience, you know, are laid off, and now they're applying for entry-level jobs. So that's a problem. So
right.
That's one of the issues. And that's why, speaking just a little bit to students who, you know, this may be your last year, that's one of the reasons why there is you cannot graduate without it, without an internship, and really one, two, three
so
internships
let me
under,
ask
under
you
your
this.
Belt.
Let me back up.
Yeah.
Let me back up here because I got a couple of text messages here. You know, this is a word that I really believe we have a tendency to take for granted.
Internship,
and
unpaid, paid, doesn't matter.
Yeah. There's confusion I've noted over the years when I've talked to students. They don't have enough, and parents. Some parents don't know. So I definitely want to stop there and make sure we're on the same page with clearly defining that.
Okay. I have rules for internships. How about that? Right. So like what I found is that colleges, a lot of college programs, they'll kind of push internships, and I say kind of because it's not required. They'll kind of push getting an internship your junior year, your senior year. But they don't really stress the importance, and again, you need to have actual experience in your field before you graduate. You shouldn't be coming out of college with all this book sense, but not enough professional sense. And so what I really encourage students to do is your freshman year, you should be applying for internships. Paid, unpaid, it doesn't matter. You should be graduating with three internships. So you have three different companies on your resume where you can say that, you know, you work there. And it's really good for networking as well, as opposed to you're graduating, again, with the degree, let's just say journalism, that was my major. And then you have Taco Bell on there, which has nothing to do with journalism, and that's what's happening. And so, of course, you're not getting a call back, you know, for when you're graduating. So internships definitely I do have, like, some people say, well, I'm applying for internships and not getting any calls back, and that kind of goes back to the same thing with job searching, is that you shouldn't be doing everything online and just waiting for a job or an internship to magically appear online. You can be cold calling and calling employers, and even if you don't even know if they have an internship, and saying, I am a junior in college, I'm a senior in college, I would love to intern with you, even if it's 10 hours a week, even if it's 10 hours a month, it doesn't matter, because they're always, you know, loving to get, quote-unquote, free labor, or and more than likely, they will hire you as an intern, or they'll have you on as an intern, and on your resume, it doesn't say 10 hours, it just says intern.
Right.
So get
there. Okay,
experience.
Let me ask this. I'm looking at my phone here. Now, you were clear on internship. I have somebody here that tells me now I understand, because they never really thought about it until their student graduated. Now, here's someone asking, is it too late to get that now?
No, it's not too late.
These parents are willing. They're willing to help their daughter financially for a year or so. Is it too late to get an internship now?
No. So what I would do, whatever city you're in, it really shouldn't matter. There should be some kind of company that your daughter or your son can work at relative to their major. You just have to think outside the box. So, again, don't go online and don't Google internships in journalism, internships in sociology. What you should be doing is Googling companies in your area that will likely – you know, have people employed, sociology degrees, biology degrees, or whatnot, and picking up the phone and calling the HR manager and saying that you would like an internship, that you're a new graduate or you just graduated, and while you're job searching, you would love to work with them. You'd love to learn more about the field. And if they can pay, that would be great. If they can't, you'll just consider volunteering. And in the meanwhile, you're networking. Everyone's getting to know you, you know, at that association or that company, and you're able to have something on your resume in the meantime, as opposed to just being out of work or working, you know, at a random place for a whole year while you're job searching. So,
and they're getting the experience along the way.
Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people say, well, why should I be graduating and I'm not even getting paid? Well, you're not getting paid sitting at home. So if anything, just consider it volunteer if you want to instead of an internship.
Nice, nice. Okay, good. Good information. Good, 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 good. Here I have someone that a couple of people have noted. The threads are the same. Talking about they've had discussions with their daughter about professionalism. And
okay.
They want us to talk about professionalism in that everyone, you know, has their own definition of what's considered professional.
Yes.
So here, here I have a couple people have noted that here in these days and times, students have or the younger generation have a tendency to think that clothing that I think is inappropriate for an interview is appropriate. So can we talk a little bit about, and they're noting here, and people, can you please just give me your name and the state that you are texting or emailing me from when you do these, when you send me these messages, because I have some of you have and some have not, and that would really help us with our process. So here, these threads are pretty much asking us to talk about what's considered acceptable, and here they're saying, please go back to the basics and talk about length of skirt and the kind of shoe and the color. I mean, that's how granular they'd like for us to go. So what's your take on that?
Okay, so back to, I think someone texted you and they said that new graduates or just young professionals have their own idea, but I think kind of like you said, it's the employer's perception of what is fashionable that counts for a job interview, not yours. So you have all the time in the world to dress cute when you get the job. In the meanwhile, you want to stick what has traditionally been pretty much a conservative way of dressing. You can be trendy. You know, you can go to Express and you can go to Limited to get your suit. But it still has to be, you know, somewhat conservative. So you said back to basics. So here are some basics. Number one, a suit. So I don't care if you're going in for a job interview at Target and you're thinking, well, all the people at Target, they wear their khakis. You wear a suit to the job interview because it's a job interview. Right? You're not wearing the clothes for the job that you're going to have. It's just the job interview. So a suit, since we're talking about ladies, and you can wear a pantsuit, that's fine, or you can wear a skirt. The skirt needs to come down to your knees. When you sit down, you shouldn't be ashamed to cross your legs. Pantyhose, black or that match your skin color. I know it's African American women, sometimes that's hard, so try your best to find
them. Oh my God, I knew as soon as you said pantyhose that I was going to get the messages. What? It's hot.
That's
I live in a hot
black
city. I leave.
Yeah.
Yep.
But don't go in with your legs nude. So heel.
Why can't they go in with nude legs if they live in a place where it's hot all the time? Why not?
Because it's just a job interview, and it's what is expected. So there may be, like, if I was interviewing people, and I have interviewed people for jobs, and they came in with nude legs, and, like, you're living in Texas where it's hot, I wouldn't think anything. But there are other people who are looking for a very just conservative dress. So you want to err on the conservative side.
Mm-hmm.
So don't take any chances. Pantyhose aren't going to hurt you for an hour. So pantyhose.
And this is what I tell students as well, grads, whomever. If it's that serious and it bothers you that much, go in. Obviously, you need to arrive early. Go to the restroom and put them on, and then you can go to the restroom and take them off. But it's not that big of a deal for you to make a big deal out of wearing pantyhose to
really
an
not.
Interview because actually it completes the outfit.
It does. Or wear pants. I always wear pants. Wear pants. But just do that. Shoes. No stilettos like you go into the club. So heels, where you're not having a wobble. I don't have, like, the height on my head, but I think it's like a three-fourth-inch heel or something like that. So gives you a little bit of height, but not like you're trying to be Beyonce on stage or anything like that. And closed toe. And I know – go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, and closed toe. So I know some people will say, well, it's hot. Why am I having to wear, you know, closed toe? Again, just conservative. A conservative form of dress. So closed toe, we don't need to see your really nicely done toenails. We don't have to see that for the interview. A blouse. I know, you know, I'm not very busty, but I've sat in on interviews where a woman comes in and you can see all her cleavage.
And that's
a big turnoff. And as soon as she walks out the door, that's all we're talking about. Not about how well-spoken she was, how high her GPA was. We're talking about, did you see all that cleavage she had out? Who is she? What is she trying to do? So monitor your cleavage. Now, I have a big butt. I had to watch out for my big butt when I went into job interviews. So I made sure that I wasn't wearing anything too tight. So dress for your body type also.
Dressing for your body type is very critical, and I'll tell you, I have to share this with you because I interviewed this young lady, it could have been 2 years ago, and awesome resume, you know, great GPA, very well-spoken. However, when she came in, her suit was too tight. And, you know, I call it the cheesing factor. When your skirt is cheesing and it's so tight that it's literally cheesing and your pockets are buckling, something's wrong there.
That's a, yeah, yeah. And it doesn't have to be an expensive suit.
It doesn't.
I've had people, they'll go to Goodwill and get really nice suits because I shop at Goodwill. So, and you can find some really nice suits. So it's not expensive. It's just nice, fitting, does not look cheap, you know, by just the look of it. So if you're going to do anything, invest in a nice suit. You can wear that same suit to every job interview and no one's going to know.
Right. Now, I'll tell you one thing. I'm an old schooler, and I definitely agree with you when it comes to leaning on erring on the side of being conservative. I do not wear pants to interviews. I keep it conservative because I will tell you, I had been part of a panel where you just never know how people take that. And I've had individuals on the panel say, wow, well, she wore pants. That's kind of different. You never know what people are thinking, and you should not give them reason to score you
discount
lower because
you.
They don't like. Exactly.
Yeah.
You've got to be careful of that. So for me, when it comes to that, I say no pants when it comes to the ladies. I think you need to keep it conservative, as you mentioned, and go in line with what you mentioned about the skirt being below the knee and all those other things. So that, I just had to get that 2 cents in about the pants in an interview because, again, I've been on a panel where, and these weren't men. These were women that said, oh, I would have preferred if she would have dressed it up a bit and would have had a skirt on or a suit. So
yes, that's so much
just,
aesthetics, and that's sad. Yeah.
It is. It really, but it's sad, but it's real. Now, can we talk about colors? Did we mention colors? Did you talk about colors? Because I got someone texting me, you're asking about colors.
Colors, so black, navy blue. I tend to just stick with black or navy blue. No bright colors. If you're wearing a blouse, nothing entirely too busy. And if we're talking about jewelry, less is more. So nothing dangling, some simple studs are fine. A nice little necklace is fine. But, you know, when you're using your hands, it should be bling bling and you blinding people. So less is more in your fingernails, just to mention those too, polished and kept not too long. So just conservative. And, again, this is just one interview, you know.
Correct. One interview. You're absolutely right. It's one interview.
I do want to mention hair because that's something that is really touchy.
Yeah, I want to talk about that as well.
Women. Yeah, I want to talk about hair, and I'm probably going to get some people who disagree with me, but okay. So African-American women, we all kind of hairstyles, and I understand that. I have locks, and I've had natural hair since I was, 22. And I've always been the type of person, if someone is not going to hire me because I have natural hair, then I don't need to work there. So when it comes to conservative, you know, I'll say, you know, dress conservative. But, like, I would never tell anyone you have to go perm your hair for a job interview if you have natural hair. What I will say is that no matter if your hair is natural or permed, it needs to be in just a very simple style. You don't need to go in trying to impress anyone with some immaculate style. It just needs to be as simple as possible. and
what's
just keep
simple?
It like that.
That's another
simple,
word
so,
that
okay,
everyone
simple?
Has their
okay.
own interpretation, like professional. What's simple?
What is simple? Okay, so simple to me, like I have long locks. I can put my locks in a bun, okay, and then it just looks like a regular bun. It almost looks like braids in a, you know, in a bun, or okay. down and straight. But nothing looks like you're going to a prom or like you're going to a club with like an elaborate braided style going all around your head. So simple. I don't really know how else to say simple. No,
no I think
that?
pulling it back in a bun
yeah,
is
pulling
simple.
It back.
That's very simple.
Colors. Okay, no colors from the rainbow in your hair if you can't help it. Now, if you already have it in your hair, I might even go get a rinse just for a little bit. And then you can come in after you've been there a little while, and then they can see your whatever kind of hair. I'm not saying all black or all brown. I'm just saying I've seen some people with red hair, purple hair. And not just African-American women, all types of women, men. All right, so just keep in mind that you never know what the person interviewing you is thinking, err on the conservative side. Now, if you're the type of person who, you know, you refuse to adjust anything about yourself, then you need to be working for a company that is very, very forward-thinking, right, who you know they really don't care about things like that, that they like that sort of creativity. So also know who you are interviewing with. Know how conservative the business is.
How can they find that out? How would they know? And that these are the messages that I'm getting through here. These are the ones that I received earlier.
Okay.
How would their daughter know the organization's culture? You know, how is she going to find that out?
Okay, well, anytime you're working for a corporation, I would just say err on the conservative side. If you're going in for IBM and you have red hair, it's not going to work. Okay, if you're going in any type of major corporation, err on the conservative side. Now, associations, nonprofits, what you can often do to find out a lot about a company is go to salary.com or indeed.com or Google the company name and put in reviews. And there are a lot of websites where employers get to talk about the company, and you can read up on the company, you know, how they treat their employees, what they're like, what their culture is like, so you can get background information. Right, salary.com is really good for that. But any company, like let's just say IBM, you can type in IBM, or let's say Google. You can type in working for Google and employee reviews, and a long list of reviews will come up.
Okay. Nice. Okay, I got some messages here. Bear with me because I'm going through them as we speak. Something as simple as nails, and here this is Barbara in St. Louis. Thank you, Barbara. I appreciate you letting
me
know.
Hey, Barbara.
Barbara. Appreciate that. Barbara is concerned about her daughter's nails, and she said, "My daughter has always worn these long, gross-looking nails her entire time, and she has been telling her that when she graduates, she's going to." Have to let them go from an interviewing standpoint, at least when she interviews.
Right.
And she thought that her daughter would be there, be in that space by now when she's not. She said her daughter's willing to cut them a little bit, but she said her daughter wears those really long ones, and it's a distraction. So with that said, she said they're very long and they're a distraction, and not to mention, you know, nails with the loud colors now. She does the loud colors, and her daughter has, in her mind, believes that nails is not a factor when it comes to her being everything wet, and she is has a very high GPA, that just the fact that she is graduated in the upper half of her class, that weighs more than her being concerned about her long yellow nails. So what is your take on that?
Well, first of all, last thing you ended with was high GPA. And I've never been on an interviewing panel where when the person left, they talked about the person's GPA. Because in the end, I mean, a degree, if you have a 3.9 GPA, that's good. You have a 2.9 GPA. Employers rarely ever look at GPAs. They just don't. So that's good, but that's not really going to help you get a job, all right? So as far as the nails, I think she said the word gross. So if the mother is thinking that it's a distraction and then it's gross, then of course, you know, anyone interviewing her is going to think that it's a distraction, and they're going to be busy thinking, well, how is she going to be able to do any work with some long nails? How can she talk to you? Is it sanitary? So that's what I think when I see long nails. How is that sanitary? That's just me. So she needs, I don't know if they're false nails or her nails, but, yeah, they need to be medium length. And I'm looking at my nails, and they're not that long at all, but her mother needs to go with her and just hold her hand and take her to a nail shop. And
so here she comes through again. She wants to know, will her nails be a deal breaker? That's what she's asking.
Yeah, yes. If I was interviewing someone, I've been on interviewing panels, and someone came in with nails that were like, I don't even know how long inches were, but they look like a distraction, and they were hot red. Like, I think they were just red. I would wonder, well, doesn't she know that it's not appropriate for an interview? And just even, it just seems like what employers think about, don't they have the courtesy of just knowing what is right for interview? If you don't know what's right for interview, then, and you're not willing to try to, quote unquote, fit in for an interview, then what makes me think that you're going to do the little things necessary to succeed on the job? If you can't make little sacrifices like that for your nails,
right?
That's a problem. So a nice manicure, and just get them cut down, and then as soon as you get hired, let them grow back. Nails grow back just like hair.
Just
so
like
it's really
hair.
Not that serious.
Okay, good, great. She said, okay, thank you. Here's another area that I'd like to talk about, and it's the ability to effectively respond to questions. And here I have a couple of people here that heard what we said earlier about self-doubt, the fear of overcoming self-doubt and fear of failure, in that here, I'm just reading here, some have noted that this one particular lady noted that her daughter had a hard time interviewing for a position.
Yeah.
Just 2 years ago, and she doesn't think that she is the best interviewer. What's your recommendation?
Practice at home or with another professional mock interviews. So when I taught college, and even though I taught journalism courses, all the students in my class had to come to a mock employment interview where they had to get dressed up so I could see how they were going to look and present themselves. And I would actually go through and read about the type of job that they wanted, and I would make up questions. So she should be doing mock interviews so she gets comfortable. I think I have a whole chapter on that in the interviewing part of my book. So a mock interview in which, and I wouldn't recommend the parent do it, because then, you know, the daughter may get more nervous. So have a family friend come over, preferably someone who is a manager, in some way, and do a mock interview where your daughter has to get dressed up so that can get critiqued, and where she's asked questions just like the regular questions, like, well, why do you want this job? Why did you get interested in this field? And then the quote-unquote harder questions, you know, what are your weaknesses? You know, what do you feel like you need to, you know, work on? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? So she can get used to asking and answering questions, and so she can get really good feedback, because what I found is a lot of times people really don't know just the really funny things they do in interviews. And they just really don't know, like, strange mannerisms that people make, or maybe, you know, not being as positive as they think they are. You know, people come off a little bit
angry.
And so with the mock interview and more than one, she can get a better idea of how she's really doing and, you know, be more comfortable interviewing. I mean, because it's really practice makes perfect. And, I mean, interviewing hopefully isn't something you have to do all the time.
Right.
So no one's just going to be a star at it. So it's just practice. But she has to also be open to the critique when it's given.
Okay. I have a couple more questions here that's going in line of, okay, my daughter graduated earlier. She graduated earlier in the year, And I'm concerned about, this is always a good one, her networking abilities.
Okay.
Yeah, her networking abilities and what's considered strategic networking and where should she start?
Okay, so I think this is really a vital question for women. What people have found is that women tend to have a much smaller network that tends to consist primarily of women. And so regardless of who you are, you need a wide network that consists of people of a different of the other gender. So she needs both women and men in her network and people of other ethnicities. African-Americans tend to network with just African-Americans, Asian-Americans with Asian-Americans, and white people with white people. You need to expand your network outside of color also. As far as strategic networking, it needs to be both online and off.
What happens if they're not comfortable doing that? What if
they have a problem? Go ahead.
And what if they grew up and went to a HBCU and were part of a black fraternity or a black sorority and their network was black? What should be their approach? With delving into other and communicating and networking with other ethnicities, what's the best approach?
The best approach first is stepping outside your comfort zone and being willing to step outside your comfort zone and doing it a very easy way, which is joining a professional organization in your city. And so if you join a professional organization and you go to their meetings, everyone is automatically there to network. So it's not like you're the only one and you feel like you're the one who's, oh, I need a job. Oh, I need you to, I need you to introduce me to someone. Everyone is networking. So join a professional organization relative to your field in your city, and one that is not just for African Americans or whatever your ethnicity, but one that is open to everyone so that everyone is already there and so that's done for you. So you don't have to go out and say, okay, I need a white man in my network. I need a Asian American. You don't have to do that. Just go to a professional organization and that will be taken care of for you. And that should be pretty simple. But you have to step out of your comfort zone. Otherwise, I don't know what to tell you. So that's number one. Networking off and online. So we have LinkedIn, which is amazing. I love it. LinkedIn. And we have Twitter, but not so professional. We have LinkedIn. And so what you'll find is that a lot of people spend all their time on LinkedIn reaching out to people. And what you have to do it off network too, which again means joining a professional organization, going to actual events for your association, for your field, and volunteering. Again, we talked about how you may need to get an internship if you don't have a job or volunteer somewhere. Volunteering in your field. So that's actively strategic networking. Another thing is that if you've heard of someone, so like let's say you're reading a blog, you're reading an industry journal, which you should be reading, and you come across someone's name who's in your city and they're a big person, in your field. Take the initiative, be proactive, and reach out to them. Introduce yourself as a young woman who is just graduated, totally amazing, job-seeking, and you're looking for someone to offer some advice. I did that when I graduated from college. That's how I scored my first internship, actually. I'm in publishing just by – I saw a woman, she was an agent, and she was one of the first African-American women to run an imprint, a book publishing imprint, and she left and started her agency. And I emailed her and asked if I could please take her out to lunch. And it took like 5-10 emails, and she finally responded, and we did, and I got an internship. So be proactive. Reach out to people. Don't be afraid of people saying no. Right? Reach out to people. That's strategic.
Okay, reaching out to people. Well, since you mentioned social media, I have a couple of people that have sent messages. They have a common theme, and they're not the most social media friendly. And two of them in particular said that, they overhear my daughter talking. I'm a little concerned about her image online.
Ooh.
Is what she's saying. Yeah,
as you should be.
She said, I'm a little concerned about her image online. She said, I'm not really into this computer stuff, but just based off of the conversations that I hear her having with her friends, I'm concerned with some of the things that she has online. So what kind of recommendations, how she wants to know how should she approach this conversation with her daughter. She says she's going to, I'm reading as I go along here, that's why I'm all over the place. She says she's going to reach out to a friend and ask a friend to go out on some of the sites to see what's out there. But right now she's going off of a hunch. But she still asks, she still wants to know how should she approach this conversation with her daughter.
How should she? So we're just kind of backtracking to social media. Employers and recruiters, when they're getting job applications, sometimes before they even really start reading or before they call you in for an interview, they're Googling you to see what comes up, right, to see if you
That's right.
you know, just bearing your midriff, if you're sending out just silly stuff on Facebook, you know, if you're sending out mean tweets. So people are Googling you, and so that's number one. You should tell your daughter that the fun she thinks she's having online, anyone can see, and it could be harming her job search and her starting her career. And so hopefully, you know, that will do a shock and awe for her because people really do Google. I do. So I hire writers for Careerinista. I Google my writers to see what they're talking about on their personal time. You know, because if you're just, you know, saying just weird stuff, if you're a mean spirit in your Facebook post, even if all your Facebook posts are just talking about how horrible your day was, to me that's
right.
a part of your personality. And that's what employers are looking for because they know you're going to come into an interview, you know, speaking all these good things about yourself. So the reason why they're Googling you is to find out what you're not telling them, how you really are. And unfortunately, Facebook, you know, some of those posts really tells you how people really are, what they really think about issues.
Mm-hmm.
So she needs to, one,
does.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
In many instances, when you are Googled, it eliminates you from the process.
It eliminates you from the process. Mm-hmm. Or if you have things that are positive, it can make them more interested. So suppose
Correct.
Instead of me Googling you and then I pop up and I see you on YouTube and you're talking about the latest celebrity gossip, you know, unless you're applying for, you know, some media job where your job is to talk about celebrity gossip, that doesn't do anything for me. But let's say instead I Google you and I come upon your blog, and it's about things going on in the industry or things going on in the world with insightful comments. That would make me want to get to know who this person is and what she can offer my company.
Mm-hmm.
So Google yourself, see what pictures come up.
Mm-hmm.
If they're negative, i.e. you're on top of a bar, like I've seen one of my former
mm-hmm.
students, you might need to take that down. Watch what other people post of you also. Because what's happening is a lot of people, you know, you're at a party, you're having fun, and your friends are filming you, and they're posting it on YouTube and Facebook, and you don't even know.
You don't
so
even
take
know.
Take charge of your image, number one. But she definitely needs to take her image seriously because they are going to Google her.
Imagery is definitely important. You're absolutely correct. Now, this one is interesting, and I dealt with this even with I'll go back and when I was dealing with high school students, and I really believe it applies with college students as well because I've seen that, especially when I do a session or a seminar and I have them either give me their email address. They'll put their email address on something.
Oh,
I have a
sweet
science
like candy.
Oh my gosh. blackgables@gmail.com or
yes.
sexychocolate@hotmail. You know, I mean, what's your take on the whole email address phenomenon?
For on your resume, and you can have a hot like fire 2199 on your personal stuff. That's fine. But on
Correct.
Your resume and when you're emailing people, it needs to just be something that has your name.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a caveat to that. So, like, let's say your name is Jennifer Williams. That's a very common name. But let's just say it's Jennifer Williams, all right? So if you could get a Jennifer Williams 01, that would be good, or 25 or something like that. That would be fine, but something that incorporates your name. You want to kind of, well, Jennifer Williams 21 at, like, let's say, Gmail. You want to keep it short. You really don't want to have anything that has your age in there, though. So actually, like, I wouldn't have Jennifer Williams 21 because then when people automatically assume, okay, this is someone young, right? You don't want to counsel yourself out. And just speaking, and this is just something entirely out there, but older job seekers, there's a lot of discrimination. So, like, I've resumes, and some people will have Jennifer Williams, 1955. No, because that immediately tells someone when you were born. And what if there's age discrimination involved, or someone is automatically screening you out? So nothing that shows your age when you graduated from college, but something that has your name or some combination of your name.
Right.
So mine is ChazKaiser at Gmail. It's very simple.
You're right. You're absolutely right. People do that and not realizing they're disclosing their age.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you don't want any reason for someone to discount you. It may be someone just no morals who's recruiting you, but then that doesn't mean your manager is going to be like that. So just want to give yourself every possible chance.
Good point. Very, very good point. Man, I can't. You see how quickly time went? I told you it's going to fly. I told you it's going to fly by. So we're almost into an hour now. Well, I still have some information here. We need to do part two on this, just so you know.
Okay.
That
yes, we're doing
this
part two.
Is not, because I have, I'm looking at these messages here. I have, 10 to 15, no, 20 questions. And, a lot of times I just combine them because a lot of times they're asking the same thing, but there's still a lot of information that people want to know about when it comes to their young ladies graduating and what they should do next. It's just so much out there, and there are a lot of parents that just don't know what they should do to assist their daughters with their job search. And like the woman mentioned earlier, she said, I'm not that technologically savvy. I'm not out on social media. However, I'm hearing some things. What do you think I should do? How is this going to adversely impact her career search, her job search? So it's just little things like that people just want to talk about.
They should buy my book. Shameless plug, but Careerista covers job searching A to Z for young women. And then come back.
No, and that's why you're here. That's why you're here. That's exactly why you're here. Now, before we close out for this evening, give us all the information that we need because, this is a podcast. So people can, this show will stay out there forever. So
okay. People
can go back and reference the show. So just in case you know anyone that didn't get an opportunity to dial in live this evening, they can go to my Blog Talk Radio Show website and they can listen to the show again. So give us all of your information, your website, and where the book can be purchased.
Okay. Okay, so again, the book is Careerista, The Woman's Guide to Success After College. My career website, and at the top there is an image for the book. You can click on that. It's careerista.com. So careerista.com. And it'll take you to my book page. You can learn more about me, and I also do a lot of workshops for young women. You can also just get it on Amazon.com. And then if you're getting the book for your daughter, I would get it probably from my book website because that goes straight to me, and I can always sign it for her. So check out careerista.com and get the book. And then there's also a ton of job searching and professional advice on the career website, too, that is for young women, but really just people of all ages, too. And I'm Charles.
Awesome. Now, we're going to do part two to this because we still have – I'd like to take a different approach next time in that I'd like to provide advice to individuals that are also – that have graduated. However, I'd like to talk to those that are going into their junior and senior year and need to start preparing because it's a process. Yeah. That's a different process in itself as well that can assist with them as they matriculate through that process. And just listening to what you're saying, you definitely have information that will assist them as well, being that school is getting ready to start soon as well.
Yay, well, I'll be back.
Yes, you will. And I said that. I knew that when I met my child today that I was going to get a lot of questions. And that's a good thing because I think our timing was very good. So let's just, I will reach out to you and we will definitely confirm another day. I would like to do it sooner than later, being that I'm still getting messages right now from people asking.
To do it. Yeah.
Well, like I said earlier when we started the show, I love Sundays. I think Sunday is a good evening. So I will reach out to you in the next week or so, and then we will confirm a date. I think this was excellent information. I have people that are sending me messages with a thumbs up sign, noted that they have obtained some information that's going to help their daughter, but they do have some additional questions, and I'm sure that they will get that information when we host part two.
All right. Well, thank you so very much for having me on the show, Dr. Wendy.
And thank you for providing excellent information to my listeners, and I will be in touch.
Yay. All right. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, before we close out for the evening, I got some announcements to make before we end the show. We have sealed the deal, and when I say we, I will say National Empowerment Group and Command Steppers. We are in the mall, y'all. Yes, we are. Man, I'm really, really excited about the All-Star Steppers Bash is coming up in March of next year, and I'd like for you to go to the website because we're doing promos and people are booking rooms, and we're doing all of this right now. Now is the time for you to go and get your room because we are looking to literally sell out of this event. Now, someone is saying, what am I talking about? I am talking about the Mall of America All-Star Steppers Bash in Minnesota, and we are at the Radisson Blue in the mall. Let me say it again, in the mall. That's right. It's a beautiful new hotel. 5-star hotel. It's gorgeous in Minnesota. So please go to Command Steppers, CommandStepersMPLS.com. Command Steppers, MPLS.com. Go to the website, click on All-Star Bash, and you'll see all, as a matter of fact, you'll see pictures for this year's event. You'll see all the information that you need for next year's event. There's a space, there's a place also for you to purchase your ticket. Now, this is a weekend event. It starts on Thursday. Right now, weekend passes are $40, okay? And that covers Thursday, Friday, and we have a big contest that's going to be held on Saturday. So check it out. That ticket is a great deal. $40. It covers Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Where is it at? It's at the Radisson Blue Mall of America in Minnesota. Now, we have another event, NationalEmpowermentGroup.org presents, okay, the 7th annual Women Unite to Win Women's Appreciation Banquet. It's going to be held on March 14th. At the Radisson Blue Hotel. Oh, someone's texting me for the date for the bash. The bash is going to be May 12th through the 14th, okay? Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Again, May 12th through the 14th, 2015, at the Radisson Blue Mall of America. And we are hosting our 7th annual Women Unite to Win Women's Appreciation Banquet on Saturday, March 14th at the Radisson Blue. So, go to our nationalempowermentgroup.org website, take a look at some of our photos from last year, and we'll have more information for you from a ticket purchasing standpoint in the next couple of weeks. But please get involved. These are two excellent events that you will enjoy. Not to mention, ladies, okay, we are inside of the Mall of America. You don't have to go outside. You don't have to do anything like that. Everything's going to be inside of the mall. So you will have dancing, education, empowerment, a contest. Everything is going to happen on that weekend. Please come out and support the cause. okay? All right, go to these websites. Go to nationalempowermentgroup.org and go to commandsteppersmpls.com for more information, okay? All right, ladies and gents, tonight was a good night. Tonight was a good night. We had some good information. And did I mention that I love Sundays? I think I said that. Okay, with that said, I'm going to close out tonight. Tonight was a very, very good evening. We had some good information for those of you that have students that have just graduated from college. And, you know, that's what we do here on this show. We are all about empowerment. We are all about providing our listeners with the tools that they need to be successful. That is what we're all about. So with that said, I am getting ready. What am I going to do? What am I going to close out with this evening? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to close out with a song from a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine. He has a new CD, ladies and gentlemen. The title of the CD is called Big Boy. All right, you can go on iTunes and CD Baby, Shazam, several other musical outlets to purchase this CD. Again, it's titled Big Boy. And I'm going to close out tonight. I'm not going to do my regular closing that I do. I'm going to close out with my favorite song, and it's titled Oh So Blessed. Again, it is on his CD titled Big Boy. Go out on iTunes and CD Baby and check it out and support my friend. He's really put a lot of hard work into this CD, and it's a great product. So with that said, tonight was a good night. Tune in next week because we're going to have a fire topic that we're going to talk about, and I know that you're really going to enjoy the information. With that said, as always, keep your eyes on the prize, and we'll talk next week. Good night.
Glad that you are mine, all mine.